From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he commences a message bearing the title, A Warning Against the Sin of Presumption. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do refers to works that are possible. There are many things which our heart findeth to do, which we shall never do. It is well it is in our heart, but if we would be eminently useful, we must not be content with forming schemes in our heart and talking of them. We must practically carry out whatsoever our hand findeth to do. One good deed is worth more than 1,000 brilliant theories. Let us not wait for large opportunities or for a different kind of work, but do just the things we find to do day by day. We have no other time in which to live. The past is gone. The future has not arrived. We never shall have any time but time present. Then do not wait until your experience has ripened into maturity before you attempt to serve God. Endeavor now to bring forth fruit. Serve God now. But be careful as to the way in which you perform what you find to do. Do it with thy might. Do it promptly. Do not fritter away your life in thinking of what you intend to do tomorrow, as if that could recompense for the idleness of today. No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow. If we honor Christ and are blessed, it is by the things which we do today. Whatever you do for Christ, throw your whole soul into it. Do not give Christ a little slurred labor, done as a matter of course now and then, but when you do serve Him, do it with heart and soul and strength. But where is the might of a Christian? It is not in himself, for he is perfect weakness. His might lieth in the Lord of hosts. Then let us seek his help. Let us proceed with prayer and faith. And when we have done what our hand findeth to do, let us wait upon the Lord for his blessing. What we do thus will be well done, and will not fail in its effect.
The day is set, the time has come, the witnesses arrive. The course is marked, the men prepared, all weights are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken. Thoughts are all forsaken, I must win the prize. While on this race with patience, I'll run this race with joy. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus' face, the one saved me by his matchless grace. My course is set, my God designed it all for
his great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King, is every blessed word I'll cling. To him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home. With patience, I'll run this race with joy. I've fixed my eyes on Jesus' face, the one who saved me by his matchless grace. I have the great provision, the Lord is all I need. He has already won the victory. From sin I have been free. Oh Lord, I must be faithful in every word and in deed. Oh yes, I'll run this race with patience. I'll run this race with joy.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. The text for this message is found in chapter 7 of Joshua, verses 2 through 12. In the previous chapter, Israel, under Joshua's command, had achieved a mighty victory in the overthrow of the city of Jericho. In chapter 7, however, we find them suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the citizens of Ai. In this message, Dr. Karen shows how Joshua and the army of Israel fell victim to an all-too-prevalent sin among God's people. Forgetting that it was the Lord who had given the victory over Jericho, Joshua and his warriors presumed that they could make short work of Ai without bothering to seek God's guidance and help. Their sin was essentially the sin of pride, which is the root of presumption. Now to commence a message called A Warning Against the Sin of Presumption, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're returning today to the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua. Going through Joshua, we have been in chapter 7 for some time, and we have concentrated on the story of Achan. Today we want to look at verses 2 through 12, where Achan will really have hardly more than a mention. Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 12. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. Israel felt very confident as her armies approached the city of Ai. She had just defeated the great stronghold of Jericho. And what was Ai after that? Ai's defenders were but few. Her defenses were comparatively weak. She didn't pose much of a difficulty to the mighty men of Israel's tried and proven armies. 3,000 troops would be enough to do the job. For, after all, Ai was an easy proposition. That was the military wisdom of Joshua and his commanders. And seldom have such wise commanders made a more fatal error of judgment. And Israel paid dearly for their folly. Instead of taking Ai so easily, Israel found her armies humiliated and routed. Now, we know that the overriding reason for the defeat was the presence of Achan's accursed thing hidden in the camp of Israel. However, it would be all too easy in looking at Joshua 7 to focus solely on the sin of Achan. We have given it large attention because it is the largest reason for Israel's abysmal failure here. However, the trouble went deeper than one man's sin. Achan's sin was not the only sin that contributed to the failure and defeat of Israel at Ai. That becomes very clear when you consider that Israel, even including Joshua, had no idea whatsoever that the Lord had departed from them until after their failure at Ai. Now let that sink in. Joshua and his entire people were obviously out of fellowship with God. His especial presence had been withdrawn. His favor and his power were no longer among them as before. And yet, they didn't know it. Now the question immediately arises, why didn't they know it before setting out on their escapade at Ai? And the answer to that question, I feel, will lay bare their folly and their sin. The answer, I believe, is that they were so confident after the triumph at Jericho that they hadn't even bothered to seek the Lord before setting out to battle against Ai. Before Jericho, we read that Joshua had gone out and he had got alone to view the city and to meet with the captain of the Lord's host. There alone with God, Joshua had made the great preparation for the battle against Jericho, and he had received final divine instructions. There is no such scene before the battle of Ai. It appears to me that the children of Israel were guilty of carnal self-confidence, the sin of presumption, and that presumption led them to a humiliating defeat. The lesson should be clear to all of us. For we all have battles that we have got to fight. Fights that will not go away. Conflicts we must engage in. Some seem to be like the Battle of Jericho, so great and challenging. Others seem to be like the battle at Ai, relatively small and insignificant. We all, however, have these battles to fight if we're going to enter into the full enjoyment of the inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will discover, like Israel, that the sin of presumption always brings God's people down to defeat. You think in church history, the church in the city of Rome was a glorious church. A church born right under the nose of the devil and his strongest cohorts. A church that raised a standard that caused a testimony to Christ to ring around the world. Paul could write to them and say that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. It was a church that soon rose to leadership in the churches of Christ because of its stalwart courage, its devotion to Christ, its orthodoxy, its evangelism, its fire for Jesus Christ. It would not deviate. A great, strong, Christ-honoring church in the capital of the world, built right in the shadow of the throne of the Caesars. However, in due time, that humble servant of Christ was led astray through luxury and worldly power, so that she replaced the power of God by the authority of man. And after some time, though she maintained and does maintain the name and many of the activities of a church, in reality, she was utterly defeated and became an apostate and a monster. The same lesson, presumption leading to destruction, has often been noted on the individual level. I could cite the case of many men. I think of a young man who set out apparently humbly upon the Christian ministry. He gave himself to study, and he gave himself to work. He thought that he had been blessed. And soon, becoming enamored of his own imagined talent, he went on in the strength of that talent. He lost out with God. And though he preached, he never prayed, and boasted that he could do the work of the ministry that way. But that presumption led to his utter destruction. Not only did he lose his ministry, but he lost everything else in this world that's worth having. And today, he's on the scrap heap. Presumption led to destruction. So I want us to turn to the passage we have read, and I want us to focus on this lesson as I raise to you what God has raised to me. That is a warning against the sin of presumption. Let me note first of all that presumption is rooted in pride. We read in verse 3 that they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." There's the voice of pride. Their thinking is very clear. If we defeated Jericho with such ease, surely we're not going to have any difficulty with this little city of Ai. Now, of course, intellectually they knew that it was the Lord who had given them that victory at Jericho. And they presumed, of course, that he would do the same again, even though they had not bothered to seek his face about it and get his guidance about it and find out about the sin that had come into their midst. They simply presumed on the presence, favor, and power of God. You know, of all pride, I don't think there's any pride worse than pride of grace. You might ask, what is pride of grace? Well, in the context that we have been reading, pride of grace is to presume upon God's grace. to graduate from a humble dependence on Him to a proud reliance on self with an arrogant certainty that we will prevail even though we have paid scant attention to personal holiness. That was the proud sin of the men of Israel. And we have many other examples of it in Scripture. I suppose the most famous example would be that of Samson, who had known such mighty interventions of God in his life and through his strong right arm. He had seen God do great and glorious things. And so he got used to the blessing of God. He got used to the movings of God. And when he went forward against the Philistines, he presumed he would have the power. He presumed he would have the blessing, forgetting that he'd been lying in the lap of Delilah and he had lost out with God. What presumption!
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.